supplymybusiness.co.uk. Find suppliers and quote for work locally. Try us free until 1st of May 2016.
If you need expert financial advice you can both understand and trust on your savings and investments, retirement planning, equity release or life and health insurance, talk to the experts at Facts and Figures Chartered Financial Planners. Phone 01233 722 922 or check them out at www.fffp.co.uk. Facts and Figures. Independent financial advice everyone can follow. www.fffp.co.uk.
I'm off my jack, keep your hands off of my stack.
Jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting. The accountants of tomorrow, today. Riftaccounting.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 26th of April, with me, Paul Andrews, and stonkingly lovely Julie Anderson.
Hello.
Hello. We're having loads of fun here. We've got loads of tweets still coming in. We've got loads of emails to read. And we've got another very interesting guest to talk to shortly. I want to tell you about this. The Authority Guides is a new series of pocket-sized books offering highly practical and accessible guidance on a wide variety of business matters. They're published by independent business publisher SRA Books under the imprint Authority Guides. The books are aimed at the busy business professional and business owner. They are snappy and practical with absolutely no unnecessary padding and waffling. Oh, we like that. Each book in the series has been written by an author who is not only an expert in their field, but who is working today at the coalface of their specialism. The first three books in the series are The Authority Guide to Emotional Resilience in Business Strategies to Manage Stress and Weather Storms in the Workplace. Now, that's a snappy little title that rolls
stress.
Off the tongue.
What stress?
Yeah, and that's by Robin Hills. And the second is The Authority Guide to Financial Forecasting for SMEs, Pain-Free Financials for Finance and Planning by Simon Thompson. And then The Authority Guide to Marketing Your Business book, 52 Easy Steps to Follow, Tips from a Book PR Expert, and that's by Chantal Cook. Each authority guide is packed full of useful information to help business leaders grow themselves, their team and their business. You can purchase these books from all leading bookstores and from Amazon, or you can go to their website, which is www.authorityguides.co.uk. www.authorityguides.co.uk.
Stress in the workplace. Oh,
stress in the workplace. Right. I've had a tweet here from my lovely, lovely friend, Sarah Paul. Hello, Sarah. And I want to tell you about this because Sarah's going to town with this. Sarah is the owner of Western Hanger Castle.
Oh, lovely castle.
Which is just around the corner from us. Mm. And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous venue. It's a wedding venue and a venue for all kinds of things. We had a big lunch there last year. You came to that as well, didn't you?
Yeah,
the Forging
yeah.
the Future lunch.
Well, what was she on the telly for recently? She was quite upset about something.
That was my fault. We did a programme for BBC South East on Operation Stack.
Oh, yes.
And that got a tad emotional, shall we say. All of us, I mean, not just Sarah.
Yeah. But it's such a lovely place.
Yeah, but West Hanger Castle was lovely. And coming up shortly, she has in concert the fabulous Beverly Knight.
Oh.
Aided and abetted by Lamar. But what she's told me now is she's really going for it, okay? Because she said, look what we're doing now, Paul. Motown Magic.
Oh,
okay?
Wow.
This amazing live show takes you back to the golden age of Motown. I like a bit of Motown. Bringing to life some of the greatest songs from the legendary artist. Tickets are only £36.50, and that includes a three-course meal plus a glass of bubbly. Yeah, and it's taking place on Friday, the 3rd of June, and it's at 7 p.m. The doors open at 7 p.m., and the food is served from 7:30 p.m. So if you want to find out about that, the easiest way to do, we'll put some links on the Kent Business Radio website to it, but the easiest way is to follow Western Hanger Castle on the Twitter. But the Twitter handle is, in fact, SP Wedding Events. Yeah, because that's the company she ran before she owned the castle. SP Wedding Events, Sarah Paul Wedding Events, get it? SP Wedding Sarah Events. Paul. But if you search Western Hanger Castle, it will bring that up. But if you follow them, and I think her website is westernhangercastle.co.uk, I think.
Bit of Kent Motown.
Yeah, but Motown, get down there. She's staging some fabulous events there. We've also had a tweet. There's only one other option there, and I'm not going to mention that on air. And this is from Abamaxa, who are lovely, lovely, lovely leather goods retailer, online retailer from Bidenden. And they say, Paul, Business Spunker, we would love a shout-out, please. We are at the Craft Shows, that's a Twitter handle, the Craft Shows, at the Weald of Kent, Tunbridge, this weekend. Oh, we're back to West Kent again. Weald of Kent, Tunbridge, this weekend. Do come and see us. And they said, artist clothing and jewellery. So that's, you can follow Abamaxa on the Twitter, A-B-A-M-A-X-A. And you can also follow the Craft Shows, which is where they will be in Tunbridge this weekend. So do check that out. And Caroline and Liz, the absolutely gorgeous Riverford Organic Sisters, Riverford _ Kent, suppliers of organic food and boxes to businesses and individuals, have tweeted to say, we have the fabulous purple sprouting broccoli. That's in line with purple rain, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Purple sprouting broccoli and asparagus. All your pantry favourites, a veg box, the Organic Sisters, Kent, they say.
That's a good name, the Organic Sisters, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not easy. I get carried away with that as well, yes, if I'm not careful.
Be careful what how
we,
you say that.
What, when we twits and we tweets and we thingies and me Organic Sisters, I could get into some big trouble here. Luckily, I've got someone else's teeth in. And the lovely Danny Tickner has tweeted from Samsung Gas, and he says, Paul, he said that I'm actually listening in today while I'm in the van. So, welcome, Danny. Thanks for listening in. He must be on about his 2,000th boiler of the year now, I reckon.
Has he got that then in his van?
Oh, don't you listen in the car?
I don't know how to do that.
Ah, I'll tell you later. Yeah, a tuning app on your phone, and you Bluetooth it to you Bluetooth it to your in car stereo. Yeah. All good stuff.
High tech.
The FSB, Andrew Knott, he says, are you still paying bank charges? We have free business banking for life with members of the FSB. If you want to know more, call me on 07747114627. Easiest thing to do is follow him on the Twitter. A-Knott, A-K-N-O-T-T-20, A-Knott20. And the absolutely gorgeous Amanda Flanders of B&D Events has said, Vanilla Web, please give me a shout out. I'm at the B2B in Ashford, giving some exhibition support, one of my many hats as an event manager. You have just been shouted out, Amanda.
Yes,
she's
great. We need
she's
to know
great.
If it's busy down there, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're all too busy to tweet. That's why we're only having 1,000 tweets. Andrew Weaver says, is it Tuesday already? Enjoying the Business Bunker show. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Andrew. Brilliant.
Yes, thank you, Andrew.
Right. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to talk to our next guest.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. Guess where he's from?
Well, I think he's from Sevenoaks, and he's got a posse of friends.
He obviously knows the entire business community of Sevenoaks, because he's rounded them all up and had them all email and tweet the show all day.
Yeah.
But it's an absolute pleasure to welcome, for the first time, onto the Business Bunker, Mr. Craig Atkins of CA Financial Services. I nearly couldn't say that either. CA Financial Services.
Thank you very much.
Craig, it's a pleasure to welcome you. Thank you so much for coming down here. So tell us a little bit about Craig. Tell us a little bit about CA Financial Services. And tell us about all your mates from West Kent who've been bombarded. No,
we know.
Yeah. So start off by telling us a little bit about you and your background and give us some detail. And then we'll talk about CA Financial Services and what you actually do.
Well, I used to be a teacher, so I moved down to, yes, it's a big shock horror. I moved down about 2 or 3 years ago, actually, to the southeast, and moved to Grays, where I worked as a lecturer in business studies, A-level, B-tech, that sort of thing. So that links into the apprenticeships as well. So, yeah, that's what I did. And then sort of 13 years later, when I was 38, I moved into.
he snuck that in, didn't he?
He was hoping we were going to go, no, you're not.
Yeah, yeah. You
but
can't
we're not
possibly
do that
have
been, because
no.
You've monopolied the show.
Yeah, no, because you look really old. No, no, no.
I'll send a picture, everyone.
I'm not that old.
No, you're not.
Yeah, so, yeah, I moved, I left teaching, so I was looking for a new challenge, having taught business for 13 years, and I became a mortgage advisor. And then a couple of years later, I moved into financial planning, pensions, investments, etc. And I've built that up ever since. So I've been doing that nine years now in total. Mm-hmm. So, and then CA Financial Services, really that's been a, sort of around for that length of time. Mm-hmm. And we basically specialise in helping individuals, families and businesses achieve their financial goals. So we look at, you know, all their financial plans, etc., mortgages, insurance, retirement planning is a big area, and investments, and any sort of tax implications we look at as well. So helping businesses take money out of the businesses tax efficiently, etc. So that's what
are we allowed to say that this week? Is that okay? Are we allowed to talk about such things? Craig and I were kind of just discussing this off air before we came on air. The whole financial situation in the UK at the moment is getting more ridiculous by the day in terms of, this is my words, not Craig's, it's getting more ridiculous in terms of the general public's knowledge, lack of knowledge and understanding of a lot of these things, and the media's ability to whip them into a frenzy of pitchfork waving about things they know absolutely nothing about, and this incessant stuff about taxes and tax planning and the new crime that everyone's invented, which is called not paying any more tax than you owe, which apparently is some kind of crime these days. And of course, that's been confused with tax evasion, which is a crime and is illegal. And there's a grey area where people have used perfectly legitimate vehicles to minimise their tax bill, but a lot of people don't think it's fair. I guess that's the summation of it, really, in terms of where we are, although it is fair, but it all depends what your view on that is. But, of course, I don't think there's anyone in the UK that hasn't avoided their tax. Not anyone that has a pension, anyway, because it's tax-free.
Well, that's it. Obviously, you put money into your pension, you get your tax relief, and that's what people do. So, obviously, what we do is just look at using the rules to ensure that people have a larger income going forward than they would have done if they didn't know about the rules that were in place. So, genuinely, virtually everybody we deal with are just normal people, really. Yeah. So it's they're not sort of high rollers and people with multi-million pound fortunes. They're normal people just looking to optimise their benefits, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what's the biggest thing that's the hip thing at the moment, then? Equity release
is quite a big thing at the moment, because people get to retirement age, their pensions are probably not enough to sustain them going forward. The state pension age is obviously has moved up now, so most people are going to be it's going to getting towards 67, and it's going to go beyond that as well.
Sorry to interrupt you there, but it's because I'm of an age for this, and this made me laugh as well. Talking to one of my advisors, and they went, "The trouble is, Paul, you need to start smoking pretty rapidly." What? And they went, "If you want a decent, annuity payment, mate, you need to smoke, and you need to smoke a lot." Well, I don't smoke. Now we'll start.
I think that's the point.
Yeah, the reason for that is that if your health is impaired or you smoke, you do actually get an enhanced income in retirement.
They pay you more money for being ill.
That's partly because your life's
ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, no, if you think about it, it's actually quite sensible, because an annuity is an agreement to pay you until you die. So if you're going to die quite quickly, they're quite happy about that. Do you see what I mean? That's an underwriter's thing.
But if you tick then suddenly when you retire, if you tick the I smoke box.
Well, they do get those.
They have tests. They have tests. They know if you're being serious or not.
Yes, I mean, if you're looking for guaranteed income, and that's where we help quite a lot of clients who just want guaranteed income, then you need to do a medically underwrite your annuity and not just accept the one that's been given to you by your existing provider, because you'll do better on the open market.
So, what are people using these equity releases for?
Equity release. So back to that. Yeah. So. Well, but they're using HLEs for all sorts of reasons. One, to pay off their existing mortgage that's come to the end of the term, so they've got to repay it. So then they just use the extra release to repay it, and hopefully then they've got some money left over to spend on whatever they want to. They're using it to generate an income. They're using it also for all sorts of reasons, like helping the children onto the property ladder, because obviously house prices, we know, a long, warm path that they're obviously prices just don't get in the southeast.
Well, and then you don't pay back the equity release until you sell the house.
Yeah, in essence, until the second of you either dies or goes into care.
And interest must accrue on it.
Yeah, interest accrues. Interest rates have come down in the last few years, around about 5% now per annum. But there are lots of innovative products out there now, so you can repay interest or part of the interest if you want to. Because some people just don't want that to build up. Mm. They want to pass it on to the children. Or you can just let it roll up and then it's obviously paid.
It's a good way of helping your children for a deposit then, isn't it? If you've got loads of equity.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because they've got to save something like 25% now, haven't they, the mortgages?
Well, yes. Yeah, 10%. It depends on their incomes, etc. But, yeah, 10%
is a
minimum.
It is.
And one of the things I like about markets, being a free market-y type of person, is that eventually... people step into a marketplace and fill a gap. And you're starting to see that now more and more. You know, the price of property in the southeast of England has become ridiculous. It's just a ridiculous level. There's no way you can reduce the price because the rest of us will all get our pitchforks out and go running up and stab the government because, you know, we've invested years in our properties. So we've got to find innovative ways and practical ways of helping the next generation into the housing market. Yes, we've got to build more houses. I mean, that's just one of those things, isn't it? We just got to build more houses and we've got to make houses more affordable. But we've got to have schemes where people can actually live somewhere in an affordable way. So you get shared housing schemes now, you get social housing schemes, you get equity release schemes. There's also a big thing, a couple of friends of mine have invested in this recently, and we have one at Moat Park in Maidstone, on the site of the old Cheshire Homes, where people build retirement homes
It's nice, that
place. It's gorgeous. It's a community. It's a community of apartments and houses, and you buy a long lease on it, yeah? But it also includes, you know, there's a health club there, there's an on-site restaurant, there's concierge services, and you pay a lot of service charges. It's for people that are reasonably wealthy. But Craig, it's a kind of equity release, because what they're asking you to do is flog your house and then buy this place and pay service charges rather than own bricks and mortar. You're paying a substantial amount for an apartment, but not the kind of money that you would pay if you owned a house. And a lot of it is paid in service charges. So there's lots of different ways of doing this, yeah?
I think that's correct. Equity release is just one of the ways of helping future generations onto the property ladder, yeah. And also just releasing that capital from your property to live on going forward and into your retirement.
I'll tell you one of the things that I came across, which I really love. I think it's absolutely brilliant, and I'm not going to get into a political argument about this online with anybody out there, Paul or anyone. But in Singapore, the health system in Singapore has a really clever feature to it. What happens in Singapore is, a bit like here, you have their equivalent of a national insurance payment, except unlike here, that national insurance payment in Singapore is ring-fenced. It doesn't go into general taxation. It goes into a fund for providing free healthcare to citizens. Okay? That's how they fund their healthcare system. However, they worked out a long time ago, the actuaries worked out, or the underwriters worked out a long time ago, that most young people, on the whole, don't get ill. It's old people that get ill. So what they do, out of the fund, they loan at low interest the deposit on what is very expensive property in Singapore, because Singapore is basically Canary Wharf in the tropics. They loan very low interest loans, unsecured loans, to young people out of their health insurance policies to get on the housing ladder. I just think it's a really virtuous, it's a really clever idea.
Not bad.
Absolutely. And then they pay the interest into the health fund. It's not spent on anything else. It's not spent on, clearing chewing gum off the street or whatever else that they do in Singapore. It is entirely spent on health and housing for young people. Really, I just think it's a really clever idea.
And it's all those clever ideas that we need, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's about innovating, and it's about thinking about different ways. And some of the things that you're doing are doing just that, yeah?
Yeah, funny enough, on the Ecto Lease, that you can even do Ecto Lease on, from June this year, that we're reintroducing it for buy-to-lets. So you can even take Ecto Lease out on your buy-to-let portfolio if you have that. So that's going to help.
Ecto Lease out of a property that you've already bought to let, or your own home?
That you've bought to let, yeah. So you'll be able to do that. So that'll just improve cash flow and allow you to keep the property. Rather than necessarily sell it.
To buy another one.
Chris Hyder's come up with a good idea on Twitter. He said, right, how about this? He said, maybe if we looked at renovation of abandoned buildings, used apprentices to rebuild them, and then learn a trade and gain some extra housing. It's a win-win all round.
If he wants to do that, we'll run a pilot scheme.
Really? Yeah. Cool.
Is he the man in the van?
Chris runs a company called Chameleon Genics.
What's that do?
I'm not entirely sure. You're asking me. Let's talk to Craig. We'll carry on talking to Craig. And
tell us, Chris.
Is a process redesign, lean and systems thinking. He's clever. Project support, change management, human factors, training, the art and science of change. And he's based in London and the New Forest.
He needs to move to Kent.
Yeah.
Sevenoaks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Join the Craig crowd.
If I'd have known he wasn't from Sevenoaks, I wouldn't have read his tweets. Sorry, Craig, we were talking to you. So, so one of the things you've looked at is this equity release thing as a way of doing stuff. And I might have missed it, so forgive me for kind of re-emphasising this. When you look at equity release, what is the effect of equity release in terms of inheritance planning?
Well, normally it's a positive, really, because obviously you're taking equity out of the property, which is reducing your overall assets. So from an inheritance tax perspective, at the end of when you die, it will reduce the tax you've got to pay. But also what you're doing is giving with a warm hand, aren't you? Because you're giving now,
yeah,
helping your kids onto the property ladder, or you're living and enjoying the money yourself now,
yeah,
as well. So,
so presumably there is some kind of benefit to doing it that way, because obviously you're going to have spent the money before you pop your clogs. Therefore, you know, your estate is diminished from an inheritance tax liability point of view, presumably.
Yeah. I mean, the other big thing that's forgotten about with equity release is that it allows you to stay in the home that you've probably lived for 30 years or to actually improve it.
Yeah.
So, and then people do things like that, you know, put on a big, nice extension, et cetera, for the children or whatever.
Yeah.
And, it's that sort of thing, because people are attached to their homes, aren't they? They don't want to just move away, when they get older, for example.
So if you've got a mortgage on your house,
yeah,
and there's loads of equity in it, you could have your mortgage with,
Nationwide.
Yeah. And you'd then take an equity release out with equity release company. Or you have to pay off the mortgage, so you only have one person with a charge on your property.
Yeah, you're only allowed one charge. So you'd pay off the mortgage, and obviously if you could borrow more, and that's what you wanted to do, you could then just put the new provider will go on there as the first charge, and the Nationwide will be paid off. And that's how it works.
Cool. Interesting stuff, and the whole field of financial planning is one that's, as we discussed earlier, in the news these days. Just remind us again, Chris, the range of things that your company does and the kind of things you get involved in.
Yeah, we do retirement planning, so we look at people's existing pension schemes, their investments. We help small businesses with tax planning. Right. I alluded to before. We do mortgages. My business partner Kevin Kelly, he specialises in mortgages, buy to let, and protection, insurance, life cover, etc. So that's what he does. So we're broad based financial planners. So we can help with anything, and if we can't actually help you with something ourselves, we know exactly who can actually help you. So another area that's growing at the moment is secured loans and commercial loans.
Right.
So we're able to don't do that necessarily ourselves directly, but we're able to help with that.
So you have contacts basically, and you can put people in touch. Yeah,
and we work closely because a lot of our clients are long-term clients, so we're looking after their overall planning long term. So we work with accountants and solicitors just to make sure that everything works out, you know, perfectly.
Fantastic. Craig, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear from you. Give us a shout out for your website so that our listeners can follow up. There's loads of people on Twitter asking questions here, and I can't answer them all. So that they can follow up with you. So give us your website while I answer the phone, because someone's just tweeted in. So you shout out your website.
It's www.cafinancialservices.co.uk.
Cool. Thank you for that, Craig.
Thank you very much.
And we've got someone on the phone now.
I think it might be Boy George.
Hello.
Hi, it's Rupert.
Hello, Rupert. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm all right. You're stood in a bucket. You're very echoey this end. Sorry about that.
Hold on, is that better?
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's probably me rather than you. Are you on a mobile or a landline?
Yeah, mobile. We've had a new fibre optic put in today, and the telephone lines haven't come up yet, so having to work on the mobile.
Not BT, is it?
Don't even get me started on that. don't even get me started on that, Rupert. My phone and broadband has now been down 12 days, and BT's response to that is they're too busy to look at it. But we won't mention that. Anyway, so you're on a mobile, so we're a little bit echoey, but not to worry. So, very quickly, Rupert, tell us about what you're up to, what Dial-A-Brain is up to, and tell us where we are in the process of your Voom.
Okay, well, we're doing quite well in Voom. We're still in the top 50. We've been climbing, actually. We dropped out of the top 50, but we've climbed back up into it.
Just for those that don't know, because there's some people in the studio looking perplexed here and going, what's Voom? Briefly give us an update on what Voom is.
Okay, Voom is a competition which Richard Branson has sponsored.
Yeah.
He's giving £1 million to businesses to help them get going.
Right.
And helping them with their publicity.
Okay.
So we've entered the competition and we're going on the green ticket. We stop people having to travel.
Right, okay. And give us an overview for those listeners that don't know about what Dial-A-Brain does.
Well, Dial-A-Brain is an expertise on demand platform where we give any expert a button which they can put onto their email signature or their LinkedIn profile. And when it's clicked, it will essentially monetize their following. So it will take them straight through from booking a meeting through to hosting a web conference, so they can do their consultancy, and then it will gain feedback for them at the end.
Fantastic. Cool. And you've entered the Richard Branson competition, the Voom competition, and I've voted for you, and we hope that some of the others have voted for you. You're hovering around about the top 50, did you say? Hello?
It says on his website he's 47. Dial-A-Brain went off.
I think he probably lost the signal there. Either that or the BT guys arrived and took the phone off him.
Yep.
Yeah.
So fast.
He might be ringing again, but if not, Rupert, thanks for calling in. That's Dial-A-Brain. You can follow them on Branson's Voom. You do have to pre-register in order to vote, but you can register using your Facebook or Twitter handle. You register and then vote for someone, and Dial-A-Brain. Check out the Dial-A-Brain website. I'll tell you what the web link is in a second. He's changed it to his voting thing. I think it's dial-a-brain.com, but check it out and have a look at it and then vote for him. I would.
He looks a bit like Richard Clooney. Not Richard Clooney.
No, George
Clooney.
He does indeed. He's a handsome devil. Yeah. Mm. And he's based in Somerset, by the way, I happen to know.
Mm.
So there you go. So not everyone's in Sevenoaks. And talking about not everyone being in Sevenoaks, Nurse Liz is finally up.
Oh.
Nurse Liz, who is based in Maryland. Yeah. On the east coast of America there. And she says, just tuned into the Business Bunker, Paul. This is ridiculous. I love her accent. Now, she doesn't say which of the hers in here whose accent she loves, but she loves someone's. Is it Julie, Joanna, or both, in fact? Maybe you tell us.
I'm trying to co-host it with Paul, so I'm the one with the chat.
Yeah.
Joanne's the one with the knowledge.
Exactly, yeah.
And then we've got Craig and his celebrity posse from Sevenoaks.
Absolutely, yeah.
No one's doing any work in Sevenoaks today.
Paul Clark said, am I getting deja vu? Weren't Dialer Brain on last week? Didn't I just tweet that? He did ring in last week, Paul. You are quite right. And we asked him to... he said he'd ring in again to give us an update, obviously, but we lost the phone connection.
Shall I tell you about this?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, this is an amazing email from Helen Tier, and she's in Smarden. Mm-hmm. And she had a dear friend, Laura, and organised by Helen, this is in memory of a wonderful lady, Laura. Breast Cancer Kent is a local charity which funds state-of-the-art equipment for the breast care units of Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells hospitals. As part of the fundraising plan, we are organising a spectacular ball at Leeds Castle and looking for sponsorship from anybody in Kent looking to support some elements of the ball. The equipment they're looking to buy is breakthrough technology in the detection and treatment of breast cancer. This type of equipment is something the NHS just can't afford. They also fund wellbeing programmes for aftercare. The story of the ball is Laura. She was a very young lady who became such a dear and valued committee member. She came up with the idea of a ball in 2014 and she organised it whilst battling her second round of breast cancer. From her bed in the hospice, she dreamed of doing it again in 2015, but sadly Laura lost her battle with breast cancer in the autumn of 2014, so they now hold this ball in Laura's memory. So, come on, Kent. Sponsorship opportunities are part sponsor of Laura's ball, which is sponsors' names on the literature, advertisements, tickets and programmes from the ball with banners on the night and regular references made by the auctioneer and master of ceremonies, £1,500. Host the reception drinks, and the host will meet and greet the guests with a glass of champagne and the opportunity to accompany the guests before dinner, and they can bring their literature and signage. That's £2,000. Host the reception drinks with a table for the evening, three-course dinner for eight, followed by auction, raffle, magician, music by the Blues Brothers' little brother, and disco until 1 a.m. That's priced £2,500. And host the reception drinks with a VIP table, VIP experience, which will be a grandly decorated table close to the action, champagne, wine, and you'll have your own personal waiter for the evening, magician. He's going to perform table tricks with your guests. And a cheese and port course additional for this VIP sponsorship. That's 3,000. So Helen is Helen at Tier, and that's TEARE.EU. She's very interested to hear from all Kent companies who's interested in sponsoring this ball, which is at Leeds Castle on the 8th of October. That's a Saturday. And shall I give out Helen's mobile?
Yeah, go for it.
07736 649524. Helen at TEARE.EU. Good luck with that, Helen. And we're all give a little prayer for Laura.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for that. Dialer Brain has just tweeted in, says, sorry about that. My line went down. Yeah, no, don't worry about it, Rupert. Yeah. And they say, thanks for your vote. Thanks for supporting us on Voom 2016. Best thing to do is follow Dialer Brain on the Twitter. That's Dial, D-I-A-L-A, Brain, all one word, Dialer Brain. Give them a follow on the Twitter. Find out more about what they're doing. We've had loads more tweets. We've got millions more tweets. The lovely Natalie Bonag has tweeted in, Vanilla Web, write your book. She says, write your book about your expertise. We have a workshop with... Mid-sized Garden, that's the Twitter handle, Mid-sized Garden, and Miles Allen One. I know Miles. Miles is an author and teacher of writing. On the 15th of June, and you can find out about it by going to her website, which is kentcreativelive.org, and then /event/ write your own book. But if you go to her website, you'll be able to find it. That's Natalie's website is kentcreativelive.org. Or you can listen to Natalie's show, which is on straight after the Business Bunker show at 4 o'clock, which is the Kent Creative Live show. And I happen to know this week on the Kent Creative Live show, she's talking about busking. But we'll get to that in a moment.
Busking.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, blimey. I've had a tweet from the community show as well. It's now Channel Radio Day now. The community show is on Channel Radio on a Thursday morning. And it's about supporting... all charities, not-for-profits, social enterprises in this fabulous county of Kent and East Sussex. Laura and Russell, who present the show, have said, can you please tell listeners about the fabulous guests we have lined up for this Thursday's show? No, is my answer to that. Oh, I'm not going to.
That's not very nice.
No.
Bye.
It's me. It's
what are you doing on the show for charity then?
It's their anniversary show. It's the first anniversary of the start of the show, and they asked me if I would come on and talk about my charitable work.
I think you should do something for charity for them on Thursday.
Don't start.
I already
got into trouble very quickly. Last year, I got blagged into doing a four-hour Zumba class dressed in a pink tutu with the Secretary of State for Sport, okay? And photographs were taken and ridicule was heaped.
At
Christmas, I stood in for a friend of mine and I did a radio show in New York. To the business community, and one of the first people that rang in went, do you always wear a pink tutu? They Googled me, and that's what came up first.
You definitely should do something Thursday. So I think, Kent, come on, tweet in what Paul should do for the Thursday show.
On Thursday, I'm chairing the EU debate. If you think I'm getting dressed up as Dame yeah. Widow Twanky to come on a show and do the EU debate dressed like that.
You can change and take your face paint off.
Yeah, okay, fine, good. Anyway, do you know what? It's that time in the show.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show where we discuss the business news update as supplied by the Federation of Small Business. And there's a consultation on conversion to CIO legal structure that's taking place. And views are being sought by the Cabinet Office as part of a consultation on the process for converting charitable companies. Funny enough, we were just talking about that. This show isn't just thrown together. It's produced within an inch of its life. It's a process for converting charitable companies and community interest companies, CICs, into a charitable incorporated organisation, a CIO. The government haven't invented anything all for weeks, so they thought they'd invent another one. Yep. So the CIO legal structure is relatively new, and converting to a CIO could be of benefit to CICs. And the charitable companies, as it would reduce their regulatory burden and administrative costs. It's estimated that between 7,000 and 12,000 existing community interest companies and charitable companies will choose to convert to the new CIO structure over the next 10 years. And this will reduce their accountancy and scrutiny costs by almost £1,000 a year each. Applications for conversion to CIOs will be dealt with in stages, starting with organisations with an annual income of more than £500,000, which are expected to be able to apply from the 1st of October 2016. Responses to the consultation with the Cabinet Office are required by Friday, the 10th of June. So if you run a CIC, a community interest company or a charity, and you want to, one, consult on the new structure, which is a community interest a CIO, and they don't actually say what that stands for.
Charitable
interest organisation. Oh, goodness sake. Sometimes you just want to stick pins in your eyes, don't you? Yeah. Anyway, if you want to consult on that, you need to do it by Friday the 10th of June.
Julie. I've got one. They've invented another thing.
Oh, good.
Company law has been amended to impose new requirements concerning people with significant control of limited companies. Mm-hmm. They are called PSCs and limited liability partnerships, LLPs. Under the changes to the Companies Act, which took effect on the 6th of April this year, limited companies other than listed companies and LLPs must now keep a PSC, people with significant control, register. I suggest you talk to your accountant or go to the NFB for more information on this. There are five circumstances in which an individual is considered to have significant control, including where they own more than 25% of a company's voting shares. Companies and LLPs will be required to provide the information on their PSC register to Companies House from 30th of June 2016 when they submit their first annual confirmation sheet, which has replaced the annual return. Companies House will keep a publicly accessible register of the PSC. Don't they like to include some
They certainly
words.
Do. I just need to interject a little bit, because I'm going to take the camera off of Laura. Remind me, on Thursday, when I see Laura next, I'm taking her camera away from her, because she has just posted a picture of me in a pink tutu.
Oh, there it is. Lovely.
And,
what do you want him to do Thursday, Laura?
Yeah, no, we'll just ignore that and carry on with the FSB news update, but I thought I'd just let you know that so that you don't accidentally stumble over that. The European Commission is going to outline plans to reform EU VAT. The European Commission has published an action plan outlining its aims to reform the current EU VAT system to make it simpler, more resistant to fraud, and business friendly. The action plan sets out a number of options for adapting and modernising VAT rules so that they support the digital economy and are responsive to the needs of small and medium-sized firms. To this end, the action plan outlines five key objectives: tackling the VAT gap, removing VAT obstacles to e-commerce, which they put in place in the first place, I'm just saying, in the single market, a VAT simplification package to support the growth of smaller firms, a definitive VAT regime for cross-border trade, and more freedom from member states on setting VAT rates. You might recall that some of this is sparked by two things that the EU did on VAT. One, they suddenly imposed, against World Trade Organization rules, VAT on digital downloads being paid at the VAT rate of the country of the purchaser, without having a real scheme of finding out how you know where the purchaser is. And that's called VAT MOS, okay? And, of course, the second thing that hit the proverbial was the inability of the British government to remove VAT on certain feminine hygiene products. So this is their response to those two issues, to review VAT.
There are people being paid to write this rubbish.
Yeah, basically.
Right. I've got one all about women.
Blimey.
And we know that women rule. FSB is to launch a Women in Enterprise Task Force. A new report from the Federation of Small Businesses, Women in Enterprise, The Untapped Potential, explores the specific challenges faced by women-led businesses and makes recommendations for improving support, developing mentoring networks, and increasing the diversity of business ambassadors. To further the recommendations of the report, FSB plans to launch a dedicated Women in Enterprise Task Force. Yes! To support women entrepreneurs and business owners. Whilst the report finds women-led businesses face many of the same challenges all small firms encounter, including cash flow issues and difficulty accessing finance, there appear to be issues which were more acute for women business owners. FSB spoke to 1,900 women. They didn't speak to me or you, Joe, did they? No. But anyway, it found key challenges including balancing work and family life, 40%, achieving credibility for the business, 37%, and lack of confidence, 22%. All of these limiting women's ability to start, run and grow the businesses. I've got an answer to that. Make the man do all the cooking and all the housework and then we could just go out there and make our millions. That would be the answer. Helen Walby, FSB Diversity Policy Chair, said women-led smaller businesses already contribute over $75 billion to the UK economy, but less than one in five of businesses are majority run by women. If women were to set up a business and grow them at the same rate as men, we would see a huge boost to growth and prosperity in this country. In fact, the government estimates it could add $600 billion to the economy. What are you men doing?
Nothing.
No.
Well, there's nothing I can say here
no.
because someone's just posted another picture of me on Twitter. And with what you were just reading out, and I was just about to say what a big supporter I am of women in business.
No, you're not.
And then Stopwatch Hospitality tweeted a picture of me at Brands Hatch discussing with the girls from Spearmint Rhino the finer intricacies of motor racing.
What were the Spearmint Rhino girls telling you then?
Well, they were the grid girls, and I felt sorry for them because it was a hot day, so I invited them back to our... hospitality suite.
Dirty old man.
No. They came up to Paul's hospitality suite too, and joined us for a drink. It was a hot day. Yeah. And I was just, he's just posted a picture of me discussing things with them.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, those girls know how to run a business.
They certainly do.
And anyway, Deborah Turner, FSB Kent and Medway champion for women in business, said, The report echoes the comments that we have received from women in business in Kent and Medway since creating the Champion for Women in Business role in 2015. I think that's supposed to say that. It says 2105, but we're not there yet. We are keen to
forward
provide...
planning.
Yeah, that's a woman. We are keen to provide the necessary steps for women in enterprise to reach their full potential and wholly support the recommendations. It has been exciting that we in Kent and Medway have already been able to start to support female entrepreneurs through targeted events, particularly showcasing female roles, and we hope to continue to offer the support and assistance women in enterprise need. We just know how to do it, us women. That's the answer.
Absolutely. It is true that the fastest growth in new business startups in Kent certainly is female entrepreneurs, and they're running at 30% at the moment.
I think women make quicker decisions.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
I don't know, maybe.
What do you think, Joe?
I have to agree, and we have to remember that 65% of principals of FE colleges in the UK are women.
Are they really?
Yes, they are.
Blimey.
You can just all go and retire and read the paper.
Absolutely. No, I've...
You can equity release and retire from Craig.
You can't do that. No, I mean, actually, in financial advice, we certainly need more women as advisors.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's not enough. And in fact, the ones who do it are often brilliant. They're fantastic. But there's just too many older men.
male power and style, as
they
say. You
can trust a woman, always.
It's interesting. We need to kind of finish off on the FSV news, but it is interesting. I do a talk, which I've been doing, touting around for a little while, about the new business environment being about collaboration rather than competition and stuff like that. And the uniquely female perspective on that is one of the big drivers behind that. And females coming into the workplace in terms of running businesses has had a big impact on the way we do business, a big positive impact on the way we do business. So being serious for a moment, you know, that is absolutely true. The government, HM Revenue and Customs, to be precise, has announced a 2-year plan to increase the take-up of research and development tax relief amongst small firms. Measures will focus primarily on increasing awareness and making it easier for firms to apply for this type of tax relief. For example, HMRC will publish improved guidance to help increase firms' understanding of the R&D tax relief and to provide business certainty through the Advanced Assurance Scheme. Under the Advanced Assurance Scheme, which was launched last November, HMRC will assure eligible firms that their first 3 years of R&D tax credit claims will be allowed without inquiry. You can find out more about this by going to the website, which is www.gov.uk/government-new-boost-for-small-businesses.
Actually, RIFT do a lot of tax advice on that.
They certainly do.
And they will sort out your R&D.
They certainly do.
Claim.
RIFT Group handled my R&D tax claim year before last.
Hope it wasn't the Rhino Girls.
I tried to get money back for that, but they wouldn't wear that now. I said it was highly innovative, me, and a very avant-garde kind of program, but nah, they didn't want to know.
So this is something, calling all farmers. I don't know why I did that, because farmers probably don't farmers. Talk about that at all.
Yeah, they probably talk very much like that push.
In their Range Rovers. There's a change to the way farmers can average their profits for income tax purposes has come into force. Since 6th of April this year, farmers can choose to average their profits over 2 or 5 years. Before this date, farmers could only average their profits over 2 years. Commenting, Chancellor George Osborne said the change will provide farmers with additional security to plan and invest with Craig for the future. Mr. Osborne estimates that more than 29,000 farmers will save £950 a year.
Blimey.
What are they going to do with that? Plant load more seed.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sell carrots.
Yeah. To Hadlow.
Yeah. Sell carrots. That's what I recommend. Carrot futures. The new National Insurance Guide has been published. HMRC has published a new guide for employers to assist with the new National Insurance Contributions relief for apprentices who are aged under 25.
Oh.
The changes, which come into force April 2016, that's now, will result in employers not having to pay Class 1 National Insurance Contributions on earnings of apprentices below £827 per week. I've no idea why they picked pick that as a figure? Why £827 a week? And exactly how many apprentices earn £827 a week?
Oh, blimey, that's a lot of money.
None. So either that's a typo of some kind, or
I think that's right, actually, because I was on the revenue site this week, winding up my end of year, and I think I saw that.
That's nearly 50 grand a year.
Oh, don't tell my apprentice that. It'd be after a pay rise.
Well, I don't know any apprentice that earns that. Yeah,
I have no idea.
No. Anyway, maybe they just set it that high for a particular reason, or maybe it's a typo. But it says per week, so it's not like £827 an hour. It's £827, but that's what it says. Anyway, this is provided that the apprentice is under 25 and is following an approved apprenticeship programme. In order to apply for the National Insurance Relief, employers need to provide evidence to HMRC, such as a written agreement between the employer, the apprentice and the training provider, confirming the apprentice is on an approved scheme, and the start and end date of the apprenticeship. And then you get to not pay Class 1 insurance. Yeah.
Well, that means practically everybody.
That's everyone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's another incentive to take them on.
I'm going to check that. I mean, it is definitely...
Perhaps someone can check it quickly and tweet us.
Yeah, possibly. That's what it says, £827 a week. But that's an awful lot of money, isn't it? And
more likely to be £82.70.
I would have thought so, yeah. I think they've left the decimal point there out, yeah. I think you're quite right, Joanna. Audit thresholds rising to £10 million.
Ooh.
Following the government's decision to raise the audit exemption threshold to its maximum level in February 2016, only companies with at least 10.2 million in turnover, a balance sheet of over 5.1 million, and more than 50 employees will be required a statutory audit from now on. Companies below these levels may opt out of the audit process, a move advisors warn could result in slacker tax reporting standards and raise concerns around the quality of financial reporting, which could be detrimental to a firm's ability to raise funds. The new threshold could also lead to an increase in tax inquiries by HMRC due to the potential for compliance issues and errors in accounts if they are not reported on the same rigour as an audit. So what they're recommending is, although you don't have to, it might be worth having one anyway. Is the point there? Go on.
FSB news. Ratepayers are invited to be notified of draft rateable values. Business ratepayers in England and Wales can register their email addresses in order to be notified when draft rateable values are published in September 2016. The Valuation Office Agency expects to publish the updated rateable values on the 30th of September as part of the 2017 revaluation, and we'll be making them available online. The revaluation involves an assessment of the rateable values of all business premises in England and Wales, and finalised rateable values and new business rates will come into force 1st of April next year.
Cool. Thank you for
that.
That's
it. Channel Radio News Update.
That's the end of our FSB News Update for another week. We've still got tweets coming in. I'm going to ignore Nurse Liz, who has been poring over my photograph of me and the Spearmint Rhino Girls, and she says, Paul, your shirt's open. It was a hot day. I just told you it was a hot day.
He was trying to lure them.
Yeah. No, it was a blisteringly hot day.
He's saying, look at that, girls.
And talking about the weather and being a blisteringly hot day, I've just had a tweet from Natalie, and she says, Vanilla Webb, it is actually snowing right now in Faversham.
Oh, no.
It is snowing. In fact, well,
it's sunny
it's
here.
Bright sunny down here on the marsh. So you've got a microclimate up there. What do you reckon? Mm. Anyway, do you know, we're fast approaching the end of the show. So I just want to tell you what we've got coming up for the rest of today on channelradio.co.uk. Straight after this at 4 o'clock, we have the lovely Natalie Benaig with the Kent Creative Live show. And as I made reference earlier, this week's show is looking at the art of street busking. And Natalie went round and interviewed a lot of street buskers.
Are they allowed to busk? Do you have to get a licence?
You normally have to get a licence to busk, yeah. Mm. Yeah, normally. Certainly in Canterbury, which I guess is where Natalie was looking around, you certainly do.
I like the fact we have buskers.
Yeah, it's quite cool. Yeah. And there's been some good YouTube footage of some really cool buskers as well. So that's Natalie Benaig with the Kent Creative Live Show at 4 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, we have Mr. Craig Avery with the Craig Avery Show. It's a show full of music, entertainment, and celebrity interviews. And Clive will be here in his ladies' favourite stripy socks from 5 o'clock until 7. And then at 7 o'clock, that is followed by...
Dig it up on the New Potato Show.
Sorry. That's the New Potato Show with Jamie Andrews at 7 o'clock. 18 tracks of unsigned, new and up-and-coming music. 7 till 9 tonight on Channel Radio. And then at 9 o'clock, we have our comedy show, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, focusing on the comedy aspects of 1967. Would you believe? And then, as always, we round off the evening with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So, as always, on a Tuesday evening, we finish off the evening with the wonderful Boy George and the Club Culture show. So do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk for the rest of the day. But for now, I've been Paul Andrews, and you've been listening to the lovely Julie Anderson helping me out, and our fabulous guests, Joanne Fowler from Hadlow College Group and Craig Atkins from CA Financial Services. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Thank
we will
you.
Be back with you next week, and we'll see you all then. Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.